Today I want to talk about austerity. You have read about many ascetic practices, right? Or the austere way of living in the monasteries and all that, right?
Being a good Catholic, yes.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Like fasting for like a week or 40 days.
Eating no meat on Fridays, I grew up with
3 days was all I could ever do.
I grew up with that as a child. Yeah. We never ate meat on Fridays.
Yeah.
So would you call an austere practice like that, like fasting for an extended period of time, austerity? Eating meat 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, eating full and indulging, is that austerity? Obviously not.
No.
So, on extreme left you have torture, on extreme right you have indulgence. But there is that optimal middle, like Don was saying, that optimal middle where you are neither torturing yourself nor indulging in anything. That is the attitude of austerity. So in terms of eating, for example, through my own practice I have realized that when I am about 60 to 70% full, you know, then I stop eating. So if I fast, then I'm torturing. If I eat full,
you torture too.
It's indulgence. Later on, you're tortured. Yeah. The after.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
But about 60-70%, you have eaten enough, so there is no fasting, but there is still that desire to eat more.
Yeah.
You will notice. There is still that wanting. But if you just don't, if you just stop anyways and keep about 30% of your stomach open, empty, austerity. Stop eating when you feel like eating. That's the point. You eat because you're hungry, that you must, because we're talking about not torturing yourself. But definitely stop eating when you still want to eat. It's about bringing that rigor. It's almost like a rigorousness, you know? But it's wholesome kind of rigorousness, not fasting until you collapse, or not torturing or inflicting pain on yourself. So if I were to define austerity, I would say wholesome rigor, you know? It's a mental attitude of rigorousness. Why we need rigorousness, that attitude of rigorousness, that lifestyle of rigorousness, especially if you are on a spiritual path. Right? Number one reason, if we put rigorousness in our lifestyle, simple things like eating we talked about. Second is, whenever you do something, whenever we are trying to get something, making sure we are getting it for convenience and not for comfort. Yeah, that's another one. Convenience, not for comfort. Third, in like communication, speaking only to the extent necessary, not keep talking, you know, just finding that. In fact, minimizing verbalization.
That's a tough one.
It's a rigorousness. You know, there is that. In fact, New England proverb, you must have heard. It says, do not speak until you can improve upon silence. You heard that one?
Yeah. I guess we probably shouldn't speak at all then.
No, this is improving upon silence, because we are cultivating wisdom through a noble conversation. But this useless chatter, backbiting, frivolous talk, politics, these things are good to talk about, you feel like talking about, right? Iron Man, talk about Iron Man for a half hour, you know, things like that. Very what is it called, enticing.
Yeah.
But if you bring rigorousness to it, I'm not going to talk about things if they are not improving upon silence. Another big one is sexuality.
Sure.
You know, big one, where we can. So, our celibacy, for example, a priest or a monk who is a celibate thinks he's practicing austerity. But if he's constantly thinking about sex, constantly having the thoughts of lust,
mm-hmm.
you're not really practicing austerity, although you haven't physically touched a woman. You know, so that's the difference between a moral and a virtue. You know, a religious moral law says you have to be a celibate. Okay, and so as long as you don't touch a woman, you are defined as a celibate, but it's totally wrong. From the perspective of virtuosity, celibacy means not having a thought of lust. You know, it has nothing to do with touching or not touching. You see? So, how we bring austerity to this whole sexual life, you know? It's basically minimizing lustful thoughts. That's it. Very simple. You don't have to torture yourself by taking commandment or following a certain moral law of celibacy. Because that's a torture, right? You're constantly flooded with thoughts of lust and you're constantly suppressing, you know. And so that's the whole idea of rigorousness. It's about a certain kind of mindset, a virtuous mindset, where you avoid excesses and deficiency, but at the level of the mind, you know, not external, like you mentioned. And why, if you were to start adding austerity to your lifestyle, start living an austere lifestyle, the first thing you will notice is that somehow there is wholesome discipline to your living. Somehow the discipline will arise by itself, a wholesome discipline. You know, eating only 70% of your hunger, minimizing lustful thoughts, neither being miser nor being wasteful, spending just the right amount, only satisfying the needs, not wants. That discipline will slowly start arising, automatically. You don't have to like force yourself. So that's the reason why we put austerity into our lifestyle. The biggest benefit I have noticed is if you are practicing austerity, your efforts will become significant. Because you will see the results, like you're saying. You will see the results of your austere actions, so your efforts become significant. Because, like for example, you eat only 70%. Even though you feel like eating, you will, because the stomach is not full yet and it's tasting good, right? But you eat only 70% anyways. You want to eat, but you don't eat, right? So at that time, it is a bit painful actually. But you do it anyways, then what happens after an hour or two? You are more energetic, you are more alive, you are wakeful, you are alert, right? And when you see those effects, then your effort, that effort